All right, Wednesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Let me say it to everybody in the chat. Richard Perry is on. Sexy Pony's on. Just Jesse is on. Todd Suff is on. Big Scott One is on. Sexy Pony's on. P-Sus is on. The Great T1AU is on. Mike Griffith is on. Skunk 71 is on. JD Wool is on. Scooter 8887 is on. Peg McGroin is on. Joe Heathen is on. Let me see here. Prayer Works 2 is on. Buckeye Nut 1968 is on. Joe Heathen is on. Mulkathan is on. Blade Runner is on. Mike Griffith is on. JD Joy is on. Gucci Buckeye is on. Granite 2468 is on. LA 106 Times is on. S. Clark 1968 is on. Salty Gonads is on. Snag Dog is on. Judy Anita is on. Let's see. General Plowman is on. John Phillips is on. Hefner's on. Todd Suff is on. Gloyd Shaw is on. Hopsterama is on. Jim Brody's on. TJT1 is on. Sexy Pony is on. Guitar Glenn is on. DK Jackson is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Lisa Kinzer's on. K4VMS is on. Leon Fishpuppy is on. The one and only Clean Sanchez is on. Keeper 1376 is on. Conservative Waffle is on. Let me see if I missed anybody here. Scrolling down. Kansas Law Dog is on. That's a good place to stop. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Let's hop right to it. Let's get to all things Trump, all the things that he's accomplishing. So it's really hard to track. He does so much. I've never seen anything like this in a presidential administration, and I've been following presidential administrations since the late 80s, and I have never, ever seen anybody accomplish so much in such a short period of time. As a matter of fact, I've never seen a president accomplish this much in 4 years. In Trump's 120 days in, something along those lines, he's accomplished more than I've ever seen any president accomplish and or try to accomplish. And here's a mega accomplishment that Will's absolutely going to love. Libs of TikTok, breaking: U.S. Army will alter records of transgender soldiers to only reflect their true biological sex. So a guy that's identifying as a female is fully penis. He is now going to be identified for what he truly is, which is a fully penis male. That's what he's going to be. So there is no more tweener records. There is no more Bill Johnson, who's now Joanne Johnson. There is no more of that. It's now Bill Johnson. That's it. I guess there might be exceptions if you lop off your penis and invert your vagina and really go through with it, maybe, although you should not then be eligible to serve because you need way too many hormone treatments and way too many medical treatments to be able to adequately perform in the military. So you shouldn't be allowed in anyway. So here's another mega Trump accomplishment. All sorts of accomplishments. You've got him basically solving a civil war. Well, they're not civil wars, but the war between Pakistan, or a emerging war between Pakistan and India, two countries in Africa. I can't remember their names right now. They basically solved their war, their conflict, meeting with South Africa today, which we'll get that they weren't involved in that particular conflict. But solving all sorts of conflicts, a 2.5 hour conversation with Putin. Even Putin acknowledged that there was a lot of progress made in that discussion. The Golden Dome, basically outlawing the COVID-19 vaccination for anybody that's under the age of elderly, so to speak. So I don't know if there's an age requirement. But anyway, so Trump is just accomplishing one thing after another, making big, giant steps, big, giant getting the wall financed, everything. So, I mean, it's just a lot of great things going on. Big, beautiful bill is a big, beautiful bomb. I'm not gonna tell you things that aren't good. I'm going to tell you they're not good. Big, beautiful bill is a big, beautiful disaster. Just so you know, it has good parts in it, like financing the wall. It has horrible parts in it, like financing windmills and solar panels and the Green New Deal and Biden spending. But I'm not going to get into that right now because, boy, I did that ad nauseum last night and I even bored myself. All right, so let's go to the next one. Riley Gaines, still on trans for just a minute here because this just keeps on happening. Democrats, the Democrat Party line is always, we're not doing it, and then you prove they're doing it. And then they say it hardly ever happens, and then you prove that it happens all the time, and then they try to tell you that it's a good thing. So they're going to have to convince us all that it's a good thing that a man won another women's athletic event, namely track. Congratulations to Reese Hogan. She's the one on the left, and she has a viral video out of her. After the podium ceremony is done, she moved into the first place spot because she is actually the first place female because the guy in the middle is a fully penis man who won this event. The real champion yesterday's triple jump at CIF Southern Section Finals, she set a new PR and school record. The boy standing atop the podium holding up a number one is a fraud enabled by such and such and such and such. At the end there, California Democrats and, of course, Gavin Newsom. This is happening all over the West Coast now. Just so everybody knows, it's happening all over the West Coast where men are now winning numerous female athletic events. Just so you know, spreading like a virus because that's what it is. All right, let's go to the border. Lots of stuff happening at the border. Let me just start off with another crime that an illegal committed. Play for me.
A man from Mexico is indicted on attempted murder charges in DeSoto County. 19-year-old Javier Dominguez is accused of trying to kill another man at a construction site in Hernando. Police say he tried to use a box cutter to slit that man's throat. Records show Dominguez is in the country illegally.
So there we go again. There it is. Once again, and again, I could play those all day long. As a matter of fact, I think I got another couple buried in here. But anyway, so we could just play illegals committing crimes. And just so you know, and I'm going to get to it in just a minute. Most of you already know. I'm trying to remember what state it was. Where is it? Denver, in Colorado. In Denver, I'm just going to go ahead and do it. But the homicides in Denver dropped 58% since Trump has taken office. Wonder why that is. Nothing else has changed in Denver, except for deportations. Remember how they always say that Americans commit more crimes than illegals? That's absolutely false, by the way. Absolutely false. We were tracking it at one point in New York. I can't remember whether it was Queens or Brooklyn, but it was one of the boroughs in New York. 75% of all crime was committed by illegals. And they tell you that illegals commit less crime. That's just another lie. Like stand 6 feet apart. It's all just lies. Everything you hear is a lie. Pearl Harbor, lie. It's all a lie. Everything's a lie. Sean Ryan and Tucker Carlson, they're both talking back and forth. They're like, yeah, we're just going to have to come to the place where it's all lies. We just understand that everything's a lie. I mean, it really is. I mean, it really gets, I mean, Winston Churchill, big lie. It's all lies. We want it not to be lies. I can tell you, Paul Revere, true.
Yeah.
That's where it all pretty much stopped. And it really stopped in America right around 1913 when they created the Federal Reserve and the FBI, just so you know. All right, Bobby D video, still at the border, still at the border. I know I sidetrack, but we're still at the border. Bobby D video, say goodbye to sanctuary states and cities because they figured out how to force jails. This is great. ICE, Tom Ullman, the border czar, has figured out how to force jails to turn over illegal aliens. Play for me.
In a Fox exclusive, you're watching an incredibly rare interaction as the jail in Los Angeles transfers an illegal alien to ICE custody. The sanctuary jurisdiction forced to hand this Mexican national over thanks to a first-of-its-kind federal operation.
With this operation, we're going to be neutralizing California sanctuary state policies.
Bill Asaley is the U.S. attorney in L.A. and the architect of Operation Guardian Angel.
California is the testing ground on this. We are one of the largest sanctuary jurisdictions.
All right, guys, thanks for circling up.
So how does it work? Asaley has created a federal task force made up of ICE, HSI, FBI, DEA, and ATF, all working together out of this office in downtown L.A.
How's his criminal history?
He's got the domestic violence.
They scan these criminal databases daily to find illegal aliens in local jails who have been previously deported from the United States.
We have a warrant for your arrest.
If they've returned to the U.S., they've committed a federal felony known as illegal reentry. And Asaley's office will immediately seek a criminal arrest warrant against them, which, unlike an ICE detainer, sanctuary jails can't ignore.
We're going to flood the system with warrants for criminal illegal immigrants that are in county jails. They can ignore a detainer, but they cannot ignore a criminal arrest warrant.
The federal task force brought us with them as they went to Twin Towers Jail in downtown L.A. to take custody of a previously deported alien they found in their database and filed a warrant on. He was facing local charges for robbery, but the sanctuary jail immediately handed him over to ICE, with California's sanctuary policies unable to protect him from the criminal warrant.
They have no choice. They will comply. And if they don't comply, if they interfere in our ability to arrest a federal felon, they can expect to face consequences.
And the task force tells us once they're up and running at full steam, they project they're going to be able to arrest between 40 and 50 aliens from local sanctuary jails here in SoCal every single week. Now, if this is successful here in Los Angeles, the task force says this could be used as a model to neutralize other sanctuary jurisdictions all across the country, guys. We'll send it back to you.
You bet. Bill Malugin live in Los Angeles with that for us. Thank you, Bill.
All right, so there you go. I love that they've trumped the system. All it takes to defeat stupid people is just being slightly smarter than stupid, which, just so you know, these guys are way more than slightly smarter than stupid. But just so you know, that's all that it takes to defeat stupid people like Gavin Newsom. Because sanctuary states for previous deportees, by the way, just about everybody has a record of a previous deportation. Just about everybody has been kicked out of the country and they've all come back in. How many times, you can ask Aaron, you can ask Will, we put up these slides of these guys that have committed crimes and they were deported. How many times before that? Abrego Garcia was deported before. So, I mean, that is what it is. So they cannot, there's no way to run from these things. So if you were previously deported, if you come back in, you've committed a felony. So what they're doing with this joint jurisdictional federal task force, it's got the ATF involved, it's got CBP involved. I'm trying to remember all the other, I can't remember all the other acronyms or three-letter agencies. But anyway, it's just federal task force. And they just are running these lists in jails every day because now you have access to all that at the federal level. And you find out who's in these jails. It's fantastic. All it takes is a bunch of computer people. I was going to say nerds, but Aaron, you know, I got Will and Aaron here. They're both kind of computer nerds, so I don't want to insult them. But anyway, so you got like these computer nerds in there, and they're just running names. Has this guy been previously deported? If he's previously deported and sitting in a jail, doesn't matter whether he's sitting in a jail or not. You can do this even if they're out of the jail, but you have them perched and ready for you. In the jail, they cannot go anywhere. So you don't have to go searching. You don't have to go to their houses. You don't have to go to their place of business. They can't run. And what's great is this is detainer proof. What I mean by that is detainer, good thing. Ignoring detainer, bad thing. So this is ignoring detainers proof. Because when you go to a jurisdiction, which by the way is treason, just saying it, to ignore a nice detainer, which we've chronicled, I don't know how many of these stories, where they have an ICE detainer. You have an illegal arrested for armed robbery, and they have a detainer on, or a illegal arrested for raping a child, and ICE automatically puts a detainer on them, even during the Biden administration, and the detainer is ignored by Mayor Wu of Boston. Because they don't label people according to their immigration status. Well, maybe you don't title people or deal with people according to their immigration status, but you probably ought to deal with them in relationship to their raping of children status. Would everybody agree? Mm-hmm. But to be a Democrat in 2025, being an illegal and a child rapist means righteous because you're an illegal. You can do anything you want as an illegal. So over and over again, they've ignored these ICE detainers, which is ignoring the federal government, but yet they still get federal funds. They won't for much longer because Trump has already said, you ignore our trans laws, if you ignore our border laws, you ignore ICE laws, you know what? You're not getting any federal funds. And of course, that's being fought with 250 lawsuits against Donald Trump. But this thing is absolutely freaking brilliant. Whoever came up with this, brilliant. But they find out this guy's been previously deported and come back in. It's automatic felony warrant. He's already committed a felony. You don't need anything else, which, by the way, they should all have these warrants. But that's not where it is right now because it's a felony to enter in this country illegally. It is. But to do it after you're deported is a real felony, I guess. Aaron, can you make that make sense?
No.
Okay, I guess you can. So, I mean, because the original felony means nothing. But if you're deported and you do it again, then it's a real felony.
Correct.
Just like if you come in the country illegally, that's perfectly fine. But if you committed armed robbery, now you're a criminal illegal. But you were already illegal by being, you were already a criminal by being illegal because doesn't, Aaron, correct me if I'm wrong, doesn't illegal mean criminal?
Yes.
Okay, so if you're illegal, that would mean you're criminal. But again, you're dealing with Democrats and Rhino Republicans. So anyway, so they just come up with, they put a warrant on them and they go collect them from the jail. And then a freaking thing Gavin Newsom or J.B. Pritzker can do about it. This is freaking awesome. This will expedite things along with, credit to them, SCOTUS ruling, that Trump can use the alien invasion law. Alien Invasion Act. Alien Invasion Act. I don't know why. It's like my kryptonite. I don't know what the Alien Invasion Act, but it can be used for Venezuelan illegals or whatever. I can't remember exactly. I can't remember whether it was the Alien Invasion Act that they're allowed to use. There's so many lawsuits and there's so many different news stories every day about this. Some of them I can keep straight. Some of them I can't. But anyway, Trump has been, as he stated in the news conference again, it was yesterday or today, where he said that they have now cleared him to do deportations from, you know, using, I believe it is the Alien Invasion Act, but I'm not 100% sure. But anyway, I hear typing away, so Aaron's looking at it, I can already tell. So anyway, let's go to the next one. Matt Finn video, exclusive behind the scenes of Homeland Security's massive raid in L.A. This is great. Busting transnational gangs, the DHS has terrorized American neighborhoods and stole $83 million in Amazon goods. Play for me.
Fox News exclusively capturing this early morning bust of an Iranian-born man living in an upscale Los Angeles area neighborhood, luxury SUVs out front.
Police, hands up!
The suspect walks out of his home shoeless, surrendering on charges of interstate theft.
Stop.
Allegedly part of a scheme that stole $83 million in Amazon goods.
This particular individual is here on a visa. He's engaged in a tremendous amount of illegal activity.
He now faces prison and deportation if convicted. The operation netted more than a dozen members of two rival transnational gangs.
A lot of these organizations do exploit the local communities as well as their own communities from the country that they come from.
According to court documents, they now face charges ranging from cargo theft to kidnapping and attempted murder. Some have ties to the Mexican Sureño gang and allegedly hired a member to carry out at least one assassination. Among the arrested, suspects born in Iran, Armenia, and Azerbaijan.
We're going after transnational criminal organizations, violent and organized crime, going out into the community and getting the most dangerous folks out of here.
Homeland Security tells Fox some of the suspects are in the country on fraudulent immigration papers, seeking asylum benefits they're not entitled to.
Matt, what was it like?
A lot of adrenaline, Aisha. And these are Armenian-led gangs with members from various countries, and they also work with the Mexican mafia. These are not recent border crossers looking for a job. This is a well-organized crime syndicate that has been terrorizing American neighborhoods. And Homeland Security and the U.S. attorney here tells us that these types of busts are easier under the Trump administration now. The latest number we have this morning, 13 people arrested, including a person in Florida, and not just arrests, but cash recovered and 13 or 14 firearms. Aisha, Bill.
Matt Finn, live for us.
So let's just wait for all the Democrats to gather outside of these guys' ICE facility and try to barge their way in, like Roz Baraka. They can all try to barge in to go check on the well-being of these guys. That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. When you had Roz Baraka, the mayor of Newark, the two congressmen and woman from one of them, Gold Bar Bob Jr., outside, and the woman has now been charged with a crime by Elena Hobbit, waiting outside of an ICE facility, protesting because they want to go inspect it to make sure that the murderers, the child rapists, the robbers, the illegals are all being treated fairly in a contracted ICE facility. I mean, imagine that being your cause as a Democrat in 2025, because that's really it. I mean, I can list the causes of the Democratic Party in 2025. Continues waste, fraud, and abuse at a galactic trillion-dollar level in government, while we continue to cascade towards $37 trillion in debt. That's your number. None of these are in order, but that's number one. Number two, making sure that you lop off penises, tests, and breasticles and testicles of juveniles, and making sure that it's taxpayer funded, especially for illegals being held in ICE facilities. That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. And then making sure that you're checking on the well-being of MS-13 members and Tren de Aragua members, even if they get deported, like Kilmar Abrego Garcia and Chrissy Van Hollen, senator out of Maryland, actually travels down to have margaritas with them. That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. I'll be absolutely shocked if they win in the 2026 midterms. But just to, Larry Krasner was just reelected. you know, as the district attorney in Philadelphia. I mean, it's amazing. That's the you're talking about. Anybody ever see the videos we've played that are shot live in Philadelphia? Absolute war zone. And they just reelected the top cop that decides is Soros bought and paid for every single election. Soros bought and paid for. Now it's Alex Soros, who's married to Uma Abedin, who's a pedophile, you know, somebody who covers up pedophilia, just like every other Democrat. Kind of weird, isn't it? Again, Aaron, where's the Epstein flight line? Has it been released today?
Nope.
Okay, just making sure. Nope. Here we are, day 121.
Yeah.
And not been released yet. It's because they're redacting the victims. There are no victims on the flight line. So everybody knows. But anyway. For me, Philadelphia, you can have it. You stay right where they need to be federally defunded. You're going to vote in people like Larry Krasner, who makes sure that he does not prosecute gun crimes so that he gives them some sort of license to go confiscate guns. That's what they do. They cause a massive gun crime problem so that it believes it gives them license to come and confiscate lawful gun owners' guns. All right, let's go to the next one. Where the heck am I, Will? Project Constitution? Project.
Yes, sir.
All right. Project Constitution breaking. Trump to terminate temporary protective status for Afghanistan, for our Afghan immigrants. I see it's hard for me to even talk about it because none of it's true. But these are the people that Joe Biden flew into our country completely and totally unvetted because they're allegedly allies in Afghanistan. And you're talking about like a couple hundred thousand people from Afghanistan that were flown into this country completely and totally unvetted. Well, their protective status has now been removed by the Trump administration. Play for me.
Breaking news, and it is yet another immigration-related news. The DHS saying it will terminate temporary protected status for Afghanistan effective 2 months from today.
Well, as you know, temporary protected status affects hundreds of thousands of immigrants in this country. And for a while now, since taking office, the Trump administration has tried to rescind temporary protected status for a wide range of people, even asking the Supreme Court several weeks ago to allow for the revocation of temporary protected status for certain countries, including Cuba, Haiti, and Nicaragua. Well, now the administration says that it is revoking temporary protected status for Afghans. And that is, of course, significant, has the potential to affect a lot of Afghans. It's already receiving criticism from some of those groups that evacuate Afghan citizens. I just received a statement from one who says the decision to terminate TPS for Afghanistan is not rooted in reality, it's rooted in politics, and then essentially amounts to a betrayal of Afghan citizens who helped the United States, and that Afghan is still under the rule of the Taliban.
So again, it's just grand assertions by Democrats. These are Afghans that helped Americans. I want the documentation, please, because we do know what actually happened over there. Was, again, and I could spend, it's 9:29, I could spend the rest of the show talking about Afghanistan. It just would keep, you know, just pouring into my mind. But what actually happened over there was we pulled out the military first, which is absolutely the most asinine tactical move you could ever make, is to pull the military out first. Remember, what you have over there was a significant civilian American population. Several hundred non-military personnel were over there. And by the way, Aaron and Will and everybody watching, they're still there. They're still there. There's a little under, I think it's 200 Americans that are still stranded in Afghanistan because of the Biden administration. That it would actually take SEAL Team 6 to even have a shot at getting out now, or if they're even still alive. And they pull the military out first. Who does it? There it goes. I can't help it. Just a little bit on Afghanistan. I'll try to keep it to less than 5 minutes. Just think about this. So you have Harmeet Karzai Airport. So there you it's you know, the biggest airport, obviously, in the country. And the Taliban, who has now taken over the country, tells Biden, you can have Harmeet Karzai Airport to evacuate everybody. And the Biden administration strangely turns them down. Now, the reason why you turn that down is because you want a military defeat. Why would you want a military defeat? Because the $86 billion worth of high-tech American military equipment that was left on the ground has now been used globally by the global cabal, the bourgeois globalist leftist elitist, which includes Hamas. So just so you know, that stuff doesn't just stay in Afghanistan. $86 billion worth of equipment. And it also has fallen into the hands of the Chinese, who always want to steal our IP. So anyway, so Biden just says, you know what? It's okay. We don't want it. So that where did the Abbey, where was the Abbey Gate located? Anybody know? Oh, that would be Harmit Kazai Airport. That's where it is. So Biden allowed, the Taliban volunteered, we'll stay away. And Biden says, no, come on in. Why would you do that? Because you want Americans to die. Because you need a military defeat to feed the military-industrial complex, which has nothing to do with the United States national security. It has to do with financing the global cabal that you see going on, whether it's COVID, whether it's climate change. You got to have the military muscle to eventually come in and force people to behave. And that's what it's really all about. And I don't have time to go into more detail than that. But all of these people, now after the military goes, it all falls apart. So now you have no ability. And they've tried to blame. I love it. See, again, I don't mean to spend this much time on it. I'm watching the time on it. But they try to blame it on Trump because this was Trump's deal. Do you think any of this would have happened with Trump? Because for 18 months, not one American died in Afghanistan. In one day under the Biden administration, 13 American soldiers died needlessly at the Abbey Gate from a Unabomber. A Unabomber they knew 12 hours in advance was coming. And McKenzie did nothing. Lloyd Austin did nothing. Milley did nothing. Biden did nothing. Harris did nothing. Nobody did anything. Even ground commanders did nothing because they had a Unabomber in the sniper sights and they refused to give the kill order. They have no problem giving the kill order in Butler, Pennsylvania, but to save American troops, they do have a problem giving the kill order because it's all agenda driven, obviously. So all of the, so the military's gone. So then what happens? Well, then they got to fly the military back in. And they and listen, they can't even use Bagram at that point because they'd already surrendered Bagram Air Force Base, which you never surrender. That's like Guantanamo. You never surrender Guantanamo and you never surrender Bagram. You don't need to. Who's going to take it? Who's going to take it, Will? Who's going to take it from the military, our military? Who's going to take it? Nobody. I guess Tim Walz, you know, because he's there, you know, Tim Walz was on the tarmac at Bagram, you know, watching the dead bodies be loaded up. Oh, wait a minute. He never stepped foot in Afghanistan his entire life. Just another Democratic Party loser liar. But anyway, so we can't. So our military kind of comes back in. What? This is where I miss cussing. What a poop show. What an absolute fecal fest that from the Biden administration. So then you can't vet anybody. So they just start loading up C-130s with unvetted Afghans. You don't think, Aaron, you think any of those might be terrorists?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. They're pouring through the southern border. I mean, look at that last story real quick. Look at that last story. Where were some of the, in that, where the story from Matt Fenn, exclusive behind the scenes, Homeland Security's massive raid, LA busting transnational gangs. I didn't talk too much about it, really. Where did those gangs come from? Iran, Armenia, Azerbaijan, murder, kidnapping, robbery, and working with the Mexican mafia. Those are great people that Biden let in.
Yeah.
So you don't think he would have let in a couple of those people from Afghanistan? The majority of them are. They're unvetted. We don't know they're our allies, but the media, because they're from Afghanistan, think about what it means to qualify a story when you're an American media who's nothing but a Goebbels propagandist for the Democratic Party. They came from Afghanistan. And all civilians from Afghanistan are our allies. That's all it takes. Because the Biden administration says they're our allies, even though they have no vetting. We have no idea what their names are. None. Well, they have identification. Why? What? What identification? I know the people that I watch this program do. I'm just saying, nobody ever actually thinks things through from top to bottom. How would they have identification? How would you ever substantiate the identification? All of our substantiation of people's identity is all really local. This, you know, don't believe Mission Impossible, much I love those movies with Tom Cruise. You can't just show an ID and, oh, now we know who he is from some sort of worldwide identity platform. There's some Interpol and things like that, but mainly in America, it's at Florida, it's FCIC, NCIC, which is Florida and National. You can't run people from a village named, you know, I don't know, Goat Walk, Afghanistan. And that we're going to prove who this guy is? I mean, think about how disingenuous you have to be as a journalist to be standing on the White House lawn saying Donald Trump is removing protective status, TPA, he's temporary protective status, TPS. He's removing TPS from our allies. How do you know they're an ally? How do you know that? You have no idea what you're talking about. Think about it again. I can't get over how people can live in such disingenuousness with absolutely no integrity whatsoever that you'll just parrot the lies of some political organization and then claim that I'm a Nazi? You're Goebbels. You're nothing more than Goebbels yourself. All right, let's go to the next one. I'll just talk about Afghanistan. I told you, there it went. That was 7 minutes. 7 minute rant, and I meant to do it in like 60 seconds. That's pretty typical of this show. But anyway, Homeland Security, a Homeland Security tweet. Today, DHS, this is about two, three days ago. DHS conducted the first Project Homecoming. I love the titles from the Biden, from the Trump administration. Absolutely love them. Project Homecoming. charter flight from Houston, Texas to Honduras, Colombia, bringing 64 participants. This is from Tom Holman, who opted to self-deport back to their home countries. All participants were offered the same benefits as any illegal alien who self-deports using the CBP home app. They received travel assistance and $1,000 stipend instead of, I'm trying to remember what it is to deport each illegal. It's like 77 grand. So we saved like $76,000 by self-deportation and preserve the possibility they could one day return to the United States. Go to the next one for me, just to show you where it's at. Project Homecoming launches with first flight of 64 illegal immigrants accepting $1,000 to self-deport. All right, go to the next one for me. So this is the one I wanted you to see, one of the ones I wanted you to see. Dapper detective video, breaking homicides in Denver dropped 58%. Play it for me.
New numbers compiled by the Major Cities Chiefs Association show the number of homicides and most violent crimes are down in both Denver and Aurora. In Denver, homicides are down 58% through the first 3 months of the year compared to the same time in 2024. 10 so far this year, 24 last year. It's a similar story in Aurora. Homicides are down from 11 to 7. A 36% drop through the first
quarter. As with anything, you just have to look at the statistical data. Would everybody agree? It's very simple. Let's see now. We had no excess deaths whatsoever in 2020 in the epicenter of the pandemic. Not one. No excess deaths anywhere in the world. Nowhere. Not in the United States or anywhere else. And then the excess deaths started. And all the myocarditis, pericarditis, and blood clotting all started. We had the big hearing today on Capitol Hill about all that, which basically just, by the way, just to summarize that for everybody, and I will get that guy sitting right in front of me. I'll get back to Denver and Aurora in just a second. But we had the big hearing, you had Peter McAuliffe, who's been on this podcast before, along with Robert W. Malone, has also been, but I don't think he was at the hearing today. But anyway, Peter McAuliffe was. And there's basically the whole summation of those hearings was that it came out very, very early that there was massive myocarditis. There was a massive myocarditis problem with the COVID-19 vaccination, mainly occurring in young men. We had Peter McAuliffe on Capitol Hill today told the story about the parents getting up and finding their two teenage sons dead in bed. That'd be lovely, wouldn't it? After taking the COVID-19 vaccination. They all knew that it was happening. The Biden administration, we've covered it on the show before. So they were alerted. What did the Biden administration do with those alerts? Did they put, listen, what you should automatically do is take the clot shots off the shelf. Would everybody agree? Mm-hmm. Of course, that's what anybody would do. When there's a myocarditis problem, that's what you do is take the clot shot off the shelf. Ban it. It's causing myocarditis. It's causing your heart lining to swell. It's causing your heart to swell up. That's not good. And by the way, everyone talks about myocarditis as if, okay, well, it did cause myocarditis, but what other than that, it was great. Only 20% of people with myocarditis are alive 5 years later. Isn't that kind of a problem here?
Yeah.
Would you agree? That's kind of a problem. So that came out. And what was the Biden, and by the way, they're all communicating. This is all in emails, and all these people need to go to federal prison for the rest of their life. Seriously, they're murderers. If you know that something is causing somebody to die, and you do nothing about it, you leave it on the shelf, what is the difference between that and finding out that Snickers bars are laced with strychnine, and you leave them on the shelf? What's the difference? There's no difference. None. But with the Biden administration, we got to have the vaccines in place, because if you don't have the vaccines in place, then you can't get to the vaccine passports. And if you don't get the vaccine passports, then you can't put up the vaccine passport infrastructure, which is the CBDC, social credit system infrastructure. Because you can say, so you got to get to it, because you got to get to the mark of the beast, Revelation 13 and 14. So that you couldn't take the vaccines off, because that destroys everything. The foundation of the global cabal falls apart without vaccines. So you can't let that happen. So what did they do with this information that young men were dying of myocarditis or getting myocarditis, and myocarditis not related at all in any way, shape, or form? It's all now been proven to COVID itself. It's all from the vaccines. Just like polio really doesn't exist in the world outside of Bill Gates' vaccinations. That's it. So anyway, what did they do with it? They didn't put a warning out to the public. They certainly didn't take the vaccines off the shelf. They covered it up. That's the easiest way to put it. They covered it up. They sequestered it. That's what they did. They did not allow it. The Pfizer knew, and Pfizer was communicating with the White House that we're having this problem. And Pfizer and the White House, including the CDC, NIH, FDA, all colluded together to suppress that information. Nobody ever knew. Not till weeks or months or maybe even a year or a year and a half later, nobody knew it. I mean, we all knew, because we were paying attention, that there was a myocarditis problem. And now what they'll all do, they're all going to do the tapper now. They're all going to do the tapper and claim they didn't know, or they'll claim they did know and they talked about it when they never did. That's what's going to happen with all of this. But anyway, so you go back to homicides in Denver down. Again, you look at simple data. Because this is data out of March. So you compare March of 2024 with March of 2025. In both cities, Aurora and Denver, homicides down in Denver 58% from one March to the next. Aurora 36%. You realize you're considered to be a political genius if you lower the homicide rate by 4%, 5%. You're like, oh my gosh, he's just changing this whole city. Trump didn't even win Nevada. Well, yeah, he did win Nevada. Thinking of the old election, he won Nevada. I mean, Trump certainly didn't win Denver or Aurora, because those are hyper leftist areas, but yet he's the one who lowered their homicide rates by 58 and 36% respectively. Quite the accomplishment. And that shows you who was actually committing the murders, whether they were attributed to illegals or not. All right, let's go to the next one. Still on the border, wide awake media. This is what England needs to do. Sweden's migrant problem had gotten so bad that starting in 2022, the government began requiring migrants to work, integrate, and learn Swedish before even being eligible for benefits. Play for me.
Breaking. Sweden has more migrants leaving than arriving. Proof if benefits are taken away, they will deport themselves. This is true. So the migrant problem in Sweden has gotten so incredibly bad and so dangerous that starting in 2022, they made huge cuts to their benefit programs for non-EU citizens. What did they do? They required them to learn Swedish, to work, and integrate, to access their welfare in a step-by-step program instead of just on arrival. They're also literally paying people to leave their country $34,000 per migrant if they are to return to their home country starting in 2026. And since they've made all this changes to the benefit programs and welfare programs for migrants, for the first time in a decade, Sweden achieved net zero migration in 2024. And now there's more leaving than coming. And asylum applications dropped to record lows. But this problem got so bad for Sweden starting in 2015 when they let in 160,000 asylum seekers, which then by 2017, their foreign-born population reached 20% of the total population. And statistically, these migrants were coming from Syria, Iraq, Somalia, and Afghanistan. Because of this, crime stats increased dramatically starting in 2015, and Sweden became known as the bombing capital of Europe. After they let in all these migrants, their crime stats grew so drastically. 73% of all MURDERS in the country were done by migrants. 70% robbery done by migrants. 85% of all pew-pewings done in the country were migrants. They had a huge, heartbreaking increase in RAPE in their country. And by 2022, 75% of migrant households were on welfare or benefits. They had migrant-heavy neighborhoods that were called vulnerable neighborhoods. They had 55 of them where open drug trafficking and violence just became completely normal. Because guess what? These people don't want to assimilate. And it really got so bad that they finally said, nope, we're doing something about this. This is what England needs to do. We've got to stop pandering to this like sensitive movement. It's so crazy. It's going to cause the fall of the West. Good for Sweden for cleaning up their act, but they still have work to do because that was a lot of damage.
All right, so there you go. Now, you listen, you heard those stats. Now, people always say, the left always says, Americans commit far more crime than illegals. That's absolutely false. It's not. Look at what happened. How are we any different than Sweden? Basically, the illegals were committing 70 or more percent of all felonious crimes, murders, rapes, and robberies. They were. And 75% of them were on welfare, just like they are here. And by the, I mean, again, here they come. Now, finally in 2024, they're making them assimilate. Well, I guess it started, let me see, Sweden, my America got so bad in 2022, whatever. Of course, all during while leftists were ruling. Well, I wonder why it is that populism is getting so popular now. Well, I wonder what, now, I wonder why nationalism is getting so populist nationalism is getting so popular now, because people can't take the crime. Eventually it will get to that place. That's what exasperates me about Philadelphia, who continues to vote in Larry Soros Krasner. They continue to vote in their own demise. Truly amazing. But it gets so bad. Imagine if they just never let them in. They're committing So again, I can't remember all the stats she rolled out there, but they're committing the majority of rapes and murders. Imagine never having them in there. All the rapes and murders that would have never occurred.
Yep.
Even if they were committing 15% of the murders and the Swedish were committing 85% of the murders, I imagine everybody would certainly love to have the 15% that were murdered back or never have happened. It makes no sense. So the leftists just let them flood into Sweden, and now they're making them assimilate. So here you go, leftists causing a problem that now that for once are possibly offering a decent solution, but they're only offering our solutions to a problem that never needed to happen. And finally, in 2024, they have more people leaving than coming in. That's Aaron was like, man, that's heaven. It absolutely is. All right, let's go to the next one. Still on the border. John Strand video. While a legal migrant was mistakenly arrested. This is what they're always talking about. This was on Capitol Hill. I can't remember. I watched so much of this stuff. I can't remember if it was yesterday or today. Some congresswoman or senator was questioning DHS Secretary Kristi Noem and was talking about have there been any legal migrants or American citizens being deported? Now, remember, I'm trying to remember the average per day that Trump is deporting. I can't remember, but it's somewhere along the lines deported like 300,000 to 500,000 people so far. That's it, which is even far less rate than Hussein Obama. But yet the Democrats are very concerned about all of these people getting their due process, but didn't care one iota about the 3 million that Hussein deported and the 12 million that Bill Clinton deported. Not one of them. There was no gripes about due process then because the Democrat was deporting them. But now they're so concerned about it. And this Democratic congresswoman or senator, she was talking about these kids that remember that we all saw the story that I can't remember again what country they got deported to. The moms got deported. And the mom said, I'm going to take my kids with them. When the kids, of course, were birthright citizens born in America. And so the moms took the kids with them. She's trying to get Kristi Noem to pseudo lie under oath or whatever by saying no Americans have been deported, even though I don't agree that either one of those two kids are Americans because they were born to illegals. But regardless. So out of all the 700,000 people that have been deported under Donald Trump, the senator or congresswoman names, she says, I have a list of 10. 10? And none of them have actually been deported. They're like the little kid or whatever. And the little kids that she's so concerned about, she would gladly abort them one day before they're born. She'd gladly abort them in the birth canal. She'd gladly abort them after, like Ralph Northam style, after they were born. So here you have a situation right here This is in Boston, by the way. John Strand video. While a legal immigrant was mistakenly arrested. Watch what happened. Play it for me.
Despite being detained, the 31-year-old says he still supports the work being done by ICE agents.
I showed them my ID, my passport, and my picture, and they confirmed that it was not me. They're doing their job. I still support what they're doing. Unfortunately, they called the wrong person, but I still support whatever they're doing. And I voted for Trump, and there are a lot of bad people in this country, to be honest with you, because they don't deserve to be here.
Boom! There you go. That's what I mean. Again, simply cooperate. You know, that's how reminds me of the Chris Rock video. That caused a couple people to stop watching the podcast. But anyway, play the Chris Rock video about how not to get beaten by the cops. Just cooperate. The guy cooperated. He showed his ID. He was released. He was initially detained. You know what? That's okay. Do you realize that I got perp walked in my own neighborhood? Like literally in 2022, I got perp walked in my own neighborhood. Myself. By my own police department. By the Sarasota County Sheriff's Office, perp walked me. Because what happened was I was walking. Aaron loves the police stories. So anyway, I'm walking through my neighborhood. It was right after the hurricane. And then we had one of the people that live in our neighborhood. It's a great guy. He owns a tree company. Actually cut us out of the neighborhood. But he had work. He had some of his guys living basically on his property because they were working 24/7. Because it's right, week or two after the storm. I was talking about Ian that wiped out from Southern Sarasota County to Fort Myers. So these tree companies, obviously, it was an absolute boom for them, but there was nonstop work. But a couple of those guys are living in tents, whatever. They got into some kind of altercation, and there was an AR-15 that was mentioned. So here I am. Stop laughing, Will. So I'm walking through the neighborhood with my dog. And it's late. I'm a night owl, so I'm up till 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning every day. So, and I don't need much sleep either. So anyway, I'm walking through the neighborhood and I see a car stop in the middle of the road. And I live out in the middle of nowhere, okay? And this car stops right in the middle of the road with its bright lights on. And I like stop. I'm like, what is the deal here? And then another one comes on and then they click a spotlight and put it on me. And now remember what their call is. A dispute with an AR-15. This is what I look like. I have a walking stick in my hand. And my dog's leash around my neck. So I look like I'm strapped with an AR-15. So, and then I'm like, who are these people? Should I shine my flashlight? I got high dollar flashlights on them. I put my flashlight on them and I'm walking with a Malinois who will kill you if you touch me. You're dead. Like, you're dead if you touch me. All right. So I'm like, they're like, so now they're on the PA, sir. Put your hands, get your flashlight out of our faces and put your hands in the air. And I just start yelling to them, don't touch the dog. Whatever you do, do not touch the dog. Don't touch me. You know, be careful. Don't touch the dog. He won't do anything to you as long as you don't tackle me to the ground. If you tackle me to the ground, he's going to lay into you and you're going to get bit. Bad, all right? So I got purple. I put my hands in the air. I had to lift my shirt up and expose my big, fat, fish belly white. And spin around and walk towards them. You know what I did the whole time, Aaron and Will?
Huh.
What they told me to do.
Oh, good idea.
They had AR-15s. I had a walking stick and a deadly dog they could kill with an AR-15. So that's it. So a little side story there. All right, let's move on to Elon Musk. Adam Hughes' video. Doge, Elon Musk made it pretty clear he won't be opening up his wallet for Republicans. Play for me.
Influence. I wondered whether you have decided yet how much you're going to spend on the upcoming midterms. Is it you spent a lot more money on the last US election than you envisaged when you were speaking here 3 years ago. Are you going to continue to spend at that kind of level on future elections?
I think in terms of political spending, I'm going to do a lot less in the future.
And why is that?
I think I've done enough.
Is it because of blowback?
Well, if I see a reason to do political spending in the future, I will do it. I do not currently see a reason.
Okay. What about political influence beyond the US? How often do you speak to President Putin?
I don't speak to President Putin.
You've never spoken to President Putin?
I was on a video call with him once about 5 years ago. Okay.
That's the only... That's
why
the
would
only
you think
thing?
I speak to President Putin? I get it.
Because
you believe
heard
the
you
legacy.
Speak, actually, I've heard, you, speak about it. For example, in your West Point speech, you said, I challenged President Putin to was it an arm wrestle? And I know the Wall Street Journal has reported your reported conversations.
Oh, yes.
If you're saying they haven't happened other than once, I'll take that as read.
Is there a worse publication on the face of the earth than the Wall Street Journal? I wouldn't use that to line up my case for power droppings.
and by the way, that was on Twitter. He put out a Twitter post. And she knows that. She knows it. But she's getting out on the record. She has it that he challenged Putin to an arm wrestling match, even though she knows it was on Twitter. It was a social media post. She knows that, but now it's out in the wind. So Democrats, like they do with Charlottesville, will just continue to repeat a gaslit propaganda Goebbels lie for the next 37 years. So here's the thing. Alex Jones had a different viewpoint on this than I do. This is not anti-Trump. Elon Musk was in the Oval Office today with Ramaphosa from South Africa. He was certainly not supporting him, but because Ramaphosa has banned Starlink from South Africa. Imagine, they're giving him now an exemption because Donald Trump has removed all fiscal support out of South Africa. Now, lo and behold, the very man, Ramaphosa, who said, get out of our lives, Donald Trump, is now meeting with Donald Trump to remove economic sanctions against South Africa. And they've already allowed in Starlink. But Elon Musk is not anti-Trump. He's anti-establishment Republican. He's seeing now, no matter what I do, Mike Johnson's going to reverse it.
Yep.
What's the point? That's the thing. And that's what I keep telling everybody here. And by the way, the Trump administration needs to stand up against Mike Johnson. And they're not. They're coming together and forming the big, beautiful boondoggle. And that's going to add $20 trillion to the debt. And $40 trillion before Trump even leaves office. That's a fact. That's an absolute fact. Like, Tom, you can't be negative on Trump. There's a big plan behind it. No, there's not, folks. You cannot continue to spend. You can't. You can't. And that's what Elon's problem is. I'm wasting my time. He has confirmed, saved. And you hear that tripe from that woman. How often do you talk to Putin? That's what you have to say, I guess, as a stenographer for the left. A robot for the left. Putin, Russian lover. Slava Ukraine. I love Zelensky. I guess that's what you just have to do as a Democratic Party globalist whore. I guess that's what you do. But anyway, he's just like, you know what? It's pointless. He saved, confirmed $160 billion. It shows higher than that on the Doge clock because that's more of what they're in the process of doing. But Elon will say $160 billion that they've saved. And what did that woman ask in that same, I don't even know why he talks to these people at these global summits, but because they're all leftist. But she said, what happened to the $2 trillion? He goes, you expect me to cut $2 trillion in 100 days? I mean, that's how these people are. I mean, there's no sensibility behind what they ask. There's no common sense. It's just Democratic Party rhetoric. That's all that it is. Democratic Party talking points. And stenographer lines. That's all this. Putin, what happened to the $2 trillion? In 100 days, someone's going to cut $2 trillion out of the American government? Really? So Elon's like, you know, in my opinion, Elon's like saying, you know what? He was going to try to help people get reelected as Republicans. He's like, screw you now, because none of you are really Republicans. I told you this. There's 535 senators and congressmen and women on Capitol Hill. 12 of them are good. Are decent human beings. The rest of them are absolute political whores. That's what they are. They are Steve Scalise, Mike Johnson, political freaking whores. That's all that they are. And Donald Trump, listen, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common, or what fellowship could light have with darkness? 2 Corinthians 6:14. You cannot put your, if you want to be a fiscal conservative, you cannot be yoked together with people who are fiscal hyperspenders. And will do anything to be reelected, including cutting really their own fiscal throat. Because you can win, as I say all the time, you can win the political victory today. Oh, wow, we won. We're going to continue to spend money. Okay, do you realize that if the dollar becomes absolutely valueless, that you are bankrupt along with everybody else? I honestly don't get people slitting their own throat. Wall Street Ape's video. Mind-blowing information from Marco Rubio. Play for me.
I will say this. Even with the reforms we put in place and what we're suggesting is changes to our foreign aid, we still will provide more foreign aid, more humanitarian support than the next 10 countries combined, than the entire OECD, and far more than China. China doesn't do humanitarian aid. China does predatory lending. That's what Belt and Road Initiative is. That's what all of their aid. They have no zero record of doing humanitarian aid in the world. And frankly, they don't know how to do it. They have no interest in doing it. What they're very good at is going into some country, making you a loan, and then holding that debt over your head. And that's what they continue doing. By the way, you have to hire a Chinese company to do it. So I don't agree with this assessment that there's no evidence whatsoever that China has either the capacity or the will to replace the U.S. in humanitarian assistance, in food deliveries, or in developmental assistance for that matter. We provide development assistance. They provide debt traps. And that's a point over and over again around the world that we've made, and we found receptive audiences to it. Now, look, anytime you undertake reforms of this magnitude that needed to be made, you're going to have hiccups and you're also going to have controversy. But these reforms had to happen. At USAID, 12 cents of every dollar was reaching the recipient. That means that in order for us to get, you know, aid to somebody, we had to spend all this other money supporting this foreign aid industrial complex. We're going to find more efficient ways to deliver aid to people directly, and it's going to be directed by our regional bureaus, and it's going to sponsor programs that make a difference, and it's going to be part of a holistic approach to our foreign policy.
That's it. Didn't I tell you? And by the way, all of you know, because you're red-pilled, you didn't need me to tell you. But there it is. That's the perfect outline right there. Do you hear what Marco Rubio says? Here's the statistical data. Only 12, and this is, of course, USAID. There's many other avenues of which we give money to Democratic Party NGOs and foreign governments. But just using USAID as an example, only 12 cents of every dollar spent by USAID went to its recipients. So you hear all these Democrats. Aaron, side by side that one that you got right next to you. Just side by side it for now. Like this idiot named Sheldon Whitehouse. We need to keep spending it. People are going to die. All these kids that we would gladly abort in the womb, they're all going to die if we don't continue with USAID. Which, by the way, USAID doesn't stand for aid. It's Agency for International Development. So it doesn't have anything to do with it. And they're like, all these kids are going to die. So I told you this is how it works, right? They give these agencies $1 billion, right? They give them $1 billion. And it's in these agencies, whether it's agencies of the government or non-government agencies, they give them all this money and they pay Democrats millions of dollars to dispense the money. So what actually happens, the reason why only 12 cents of every dollar gets to a recipient is because they're paying themselves to disperse it. So somebody gets $1 billion to give to poor kids in Zimbabwe. So they're giving $1 billion to Senator Whitehouse's daughter, just like Juan Merchan's daughter, just like Boasberg's daughter. That's why Boasberg won't allow Trump to defund NGOs, because both his wife and daughter, their jobs are working for NGOs, because that's what it's all about. It's all our government's about, is creating NGOs fully staffed by Democrats, so that they can personally enrich themselves. That's all our government's about until Trump came into office. So what happens is they give one of these NGOs or government agencies, like the Institute for Peace, they give them $1 billion. And when they say, okay, all this has to go for clothing and food for kids in Zimbabwe, they pay themselves $999.9 million, and they give the kids $100,000 worth of food and clothes. That's what happens. I'm telling you, every single time, 12 cents of every dollar spent by USAID went to recipients. The other 88 cents per dollar went to NGOs who pocketed the money, paying themselves to disperse the 12 cents. So they paid themselves 88 cents per dollar to dispense 12 cents per dollar. That's what we're $37 trillion in debt because of that. Aaron, you got debt clock? $37 trillion in debt because of that. And Sheldon Whitehouse and all of the rest of the Democrats want to continue it going. That's why think about it. Basically, you can summarize the entire debt clock with that one sentence. 88 cents per dollar completely and totally wasted. And even the 12 cents, how was it really spent once it got there? Did it go to a true recipient or did it go to somebody who is tasked with giving it to a recipient?
Right.
All lies. Now, let me show you how you handle Democrats. Because, listen, I am lukewarm on Lee Zeldin. I like him, but I don't crazy about him. Now, I'm falling in love. It's like I fell in love with Elon, but, you know, I fell out of love with Elon. Now, I'm back in love with Elon. Then I was out of love with Elon. Now, I'm currently in love with Elon. Now, I love Lee Zeldin, and I'll show you why. I don't know how long I'm going to let this video go, but it's a four-minute video. I may not let it go the full four. But anyway, this is how you handle Democrats. And here's Sheldon right here. Daily Caller video. Watch sparks fly in heated yelling match between Lee Zeldin and Democrat Sheldon Whitehouse. Play for me.
You stated during your House ENC hearing that you personally reviewed all these grants. Here's what you said. I was the one who made the decision. And I made the decision after doing individual review. I personally reviewed every single grant that I canceled. Now, you guys are going to have to start getting your stories straight. Because there are three completely different statements, and they cannot all be true. It cannot be that Voiles personally himself conducted the review of 781.
He did.
And that Coogan
and
saw to it that it was individually done.
Others did. It's a crazy concept, Senator, but maybe more than one person was individually reviewing these grants. Maybe they were working on it for more than one day, Senator.
Will
you
show
about that concept?
Will you?
What about the fact
when
that
their testimony
these,
is that they did it all on one day? No, I do not.
Every single time.
I do not agree with that, Administrator.
Grant, Senator.
He swore in court that he did it on one day. So you can't now come in and say that that's false.
You make a decision on a day after you worked on it,
he
busting
didn't
your
say.
Ass for a while to get all of your ducks lined up.
That's
to
not
do
what
all
he
the
said.
Research, to ask questions, to make sure you're making responsible decisions.
None of that is what he said.
Because you're not worried that there's going to be some ranking member to
none of
the
that
BW
is what he said.
Who doesn't care about the facts.
None of that is what he said. I'm using the facts as your employee stated them.
I conducted an
them.
Individual review of everything. And that concept
when?
Doesn't
when?
Work for you.
When? When did you conduct that individualized review of 781
because
grants?
We have a zero tolerance.
Will you show me your schedule?
Dollars. We inherit something. You don't care about wasting money.
Will you show me
you
your schedule?
You don't care about wasting money, but the Trump administration does, Senator.
Will you show me your schedule?
Our schedule's publicly released. We don't put on the schedule every single moment.
Will you show me your schedule
it's
to prove
released.
Your assertion
I'm
that you did
oath,
individualized
Senator.
Review of 781?
I'm under oath telling you that I was reviewing this stuff and working on it almost every single day.
And the
why?
Problem
because
with
when
that...
I was before this committee, I was asked by Senator Ricketts, if confirmed, would I immediately make this the top priority to go through all the grant funding going through EPA? To make sure that we are cracking down on every waste, every aspect of abuse. Because I have to come back here in front of Senator Ricketts today. And even though you don't care about wasting tax dollars, Senator Ricketts does.
And the problem.
And I'm going to do my job because the American public
and the problem,
cares about us not wasting tax dollars.
And the problem with your assertion here today is that it is belied by your own employees' sworn statements in court and by the decision
no,
of
Senator,
the Department of
you're
Justice
not grasping
to
the fact.
Admit that what you
no,
say
you're
isn't
not grasping
true.
The fact that we would have multiple employees looking at these grants. That concept just escapes you like that's even a possibility.
The only
you
thing about here, that is that
and
that's
you don't
not
care
true.
About 99% of the story.
That's not true according to your own
you don't,
employees'
you're not grasping
testimony.
It, I don't know what to say to you. You're insisting on the fact.
I'm insisting on the facts.
That
that's exactly
only,
what I'm insisting
yes,
on. I'm
okay.
insisting on the facts, and I now have three different
again,
versions of the facts,
that
including
Travis Boyles
Department
and
of
I
Justice
and
lawyers
are working on this every
who
single
admitted
day that
in
we're
court
in office.
That what you're saying now is not
true. We're not
going to
waste dollars just because you insist on EPA lighting taxpayer dollars on fire. The American taxpayers, they put President Trump in office because of people like you. They have Republicans in charge of the House.
That is how you handle these people. And it gets even better. Watch the whole video. It's viral on Twitter. It's fantastic. Let's look at just real, let's have some fun with Sheldon Whitehouse for just a minute. Susie video, Democrat Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, who preaches about rooting out systemic racism, responds to when he was asked how he feels about the all-white country club he belongs to. So the Democrat who wants to root out systemic racism belongs to an all-white country club. Play for me.
Okay, back in 2017, you had expressed concerns about the membership of the all-white Bailey's Beach Club, said that you hoped it would become more diverse. Now, your family's been members, your wife is one of the largest shareholders. Has there been any traction in that? Are there any minority members of the club now?
I think the people who are running the place are still working on that, and I'm sorry it hasn't happened yet.
Do you have concerns in 2021? I mean, obviously, it's been 4 years. You had remarks on the floor following the deaths of Breonna Taylor and George Floyd saying, you know, hoping to root out systemic racism in the country. Your thoughts on an elite, all-white, wealthy club, again, in this day and age. You know, should these clubs continue to exist?
It's a long tradition in Rhode Island, and there are many of them. I think we just need to work our way through the issues. Thank you.
That's great. I mean, they're working on it. Oh, how do you work on it? You remove making it all white. We're going to work on it. Okay, so we have an all-white country club that his wife's the primary financial source behind. She's the primary financier of it, primary financial contributor of this club. So, and you're allegedly this pro-black, pro-racial equality guy who goes to an all-white country club. And you've gone there for decades. But they're working on it, Will. They're working on it, Aaron. You know how you work on it? You say, everybody's welcome. And you take the only whites off of it. What else is there to work on? Typical. Absolutely typical leftist. Let me show you how else you handle leftist politicians. Because when you're dealing with, I'm trying to remember how you pronounce his first name, Cyril, something like that. Ramaphosa, the president of South Africa, who's overseeing the genocide of Afrikaner farmers. Which, by the way, anytime you hear any leftist, because I can show you a video of them doing so, claim that the Afrikaners are behind apartheid, look them in the eye or send them a response on social media calling them that which they are, idiots. Afrikaners have nothing to do with apartheid. There are many tribes inside of South Africa, two of which are white. You have the English and you have the Afrikaners. The Afrikaners got there first and they are Dutch farmers. Basically, they're Mennonites and they're responsible for apartheid. They have nothing to do with apartheid. The English came in and established apartheid, and that was the Boer War. It was English versus Dutch farmers and blacks. So remember that. It was blacks and Afrikaners fighting the English. And now you'll hear people on CNN saying that the 50 people that Trump let in that are Afrikaners because of the genocide going on inside of South Africa, where you're having rapes and murders and what they call neckties going on. Neckties is when they strap you, tie you down, and put a tire around your neck, fill it with petroleum, and light it on fire. And they're raping the women, the Afrikaner women, as they try to take over or leverage these people out of their farms. And 33% are already gone. 33% since 1997. That's a pretty big genocide to eliminate 33% of the population, either because they've left or they've been murdered or displaced. So here you have Trump meeting with Ramaphosa, who is claiming that none of this is going on, that nobody's being violently leveraged out of their farms or having their wife raped in front of them or the husband shot in the head right in front of the wife after she's been raped. None of that, of course, is happening under Ramaphosa. Anybody ever see the videos? And by the way, just one other thing on the tribes. There's over 100 tribes there, two of which are white, and the people who hate each other the most are the two white tribes. They hate each other more than anything. So all you're hearing, all the black-white stuff, it's not black versus white. It really is multifaceted. And the biggest hatred is between the English and the Afrikaners, but there's a lot of black tribes that hate other black tribes, and there's black tribes that hate English, and there's black tribes that hate Afrikaners, and you have the English that hate the Afrikaners, blah, blah, blah. So it's obviously, again, just a hornet's nest there. But Afrikaners, who happen to be white, are legitimate asylum seekers, and the media is like, why do you let in white people and not black people and not Asian people? We did 21 million of them over the last 4 years, and over a million people of all colors this year. And again, that's way more than a million. It's a million on a stat sheet, but it's chain migration, so it's up to 6, 7, 8 people per one that's actually on there. So we've already let in 4 or 5 million this year anyway of legal immigrants. of all colors. It's got nothing to do with race, but of course, the mainstream media will try to make, oh, he's letting us like 73 people. 73 white Afrikaner farmers. So here, everybody saw this today, Vigilant Fox video. The new South African President Ramaphosa tried to gaslight Trump. Play for me.
What does it take from you for you to be convinced that there's no white genocide in South Africa?
Well, I can answer that for the president. It's for him. No, seriously.
I'd rather have him answer.
Yeah, I'm not answering.
It will be. Our president will respond to you.
Yeah, let me.
Thank you, Mr. President.
It will take President Trump listening to the voices of South Africans, some of whom are his good friends, like those who are here. When we have talks between us or the quiet around a quiet table, it will take President Trump to listen to them. I'm not going to be repeating what I've been saying. I would say if there was Afrikaner farmer genocide, I can bet you these three gentlemen would not be here, including my Minister of Agriculture. He would not be with me. So it'll take him, President Trump, listening to their stories, to their perspective. That is the answer to your question.
But, Mr. President, I must say that we have... No, wait. We have thousands of stories talking about it.
Sure.
And we have documentaries. We have news stories. And that, is Natalie here? Somebody here to turn that... I could show you a couple of things, and I would, it has to be responded to.
Yeah, sure.
Let me see the articles, please, if you would, and turn the lights down, and just put this on, it's right behind you, Johan.
There's nothing this parliament can do, with or without you. People are going to occupy land. We require no permission from you, from the president, from no one. We don't care. We can do whatever you want to do. Who are you to tell us?
I have the next, load up the next video for me, guys, because I'm going to show you the video that he is showing Ramaphosa. And by the way, the guy, Aaron, side by side that, would you? That guy right there standing there is the... is the member of Ramaphosa's political party. So this is basically the chairman of his DNC. So this is very much like Rance Priebus for Ramaphosa. This is the guy who's chairman of this party right here. This is the guy that's speaking for Ramaphosa's party. As Ramaphosa says, there's no genocide going on. There's no killing of the Boer. There's no killing of the Afrikaner farmer. This is the video that Trump showed Ramaphosa. Play for me.
There's nothing you can do. There's nothing this parliament can do. With or without you, people are going to occupy land. We require no permission from you, from the president, from no one. We don't care. We can do whatever you want to do. Who are you to tell us whether we can occupy land or not? We are going to occupy land. Yes. South Africa, occupy land. That's Thank who you. We are.
Honorable member,
you want to do,
speaker,
you can withdraw my membership
deputy
from this
speaker.
Useless parliament.
Honorable. Yes, honorable member.
Must never be scared to kill. A revolution demands that at some point there must be killing. Because the killing is part of a revolutionary act. Shoot to kill, Nyamaza. Kill the poor, the farmer. Kill the poor, the farmer. Brr, pa, pa. Brr, pa, pa. To kill, Nyamaza. Kill the poor, the farmer.
The mayor of DA in PE is a white man. So these people, when you want to hit them hard, go after a white man. They feel a terrible pain because you have touched a white man. Not because Mashaba and Soli will not be touched. They will be touched, don't worry. But we are starting with this whiteness. We are cutting the throat of whiteness.
Shoot to kill, Nyamaza. Kill the Boer, the farmer. Kill the Boer, the farmer.
So that goes on for 4 minutes. You can watch that. You can watch that anywhere on Twitter. Obviously, it's viral. I would say that's a valid asylum claim. Would everybody agree? When you have the, did you see the stadium full of 150,000 people all going like this and saying, kill the boar, shoot the farmer? I think it's a valid asylum claim. Would everybody agree for the Afrikaner to come over, all 70 of them that have come over here? And Aaron brought this up. It reminds me of this. Every leftist says the same thing. Nothing's going on. And Aaron made a joke. Don't worry, even though they're saying shoot the boar, shoot the Afrikaner, shoot the farmer. It's mostly peaceful. Does that bring back a memory? Play it for me.
I want to be clear in how I characterize this. This is mostly a protest. It is not generally speaking, unruly. But fires have been started, and there's a crowd that...
It's mostly peaceful. There's nothing going on. You just have the head of my own political party at a rally with 200,000 people saying, shoot white people. But other than that, everything's perfectly fine. That's what Ramaphosa is actually telling the President of the United States. This isn't going on when the head of his own political party is holding a rally, dancing with a symbolic gun in his hand saying, shoot the boar, shoot the farmer. And Democrats, the media, being a Democrat in 2025, what that means is you go to President Trump and says, you're going to let those people in? And you have no concern about Afghans that are unvetted terrorists? Unbelievable. All right, that's good. 1022. Wow, look at the Rumble rants tonight. Nate Dad, $60. Texas Billy, $25. Hefner, $20. Nude Monk, $20. Tony Nuthead, $20. Gucci Buckeye, $20. Christopher Arnott, $10. Thank you guys so much in the rant. Thank you. Really do appreciate you financing the podcast. Thank you guys in the chat. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Back here tomorrow night. 9 o'clock. Oh, stick around for the post game. Love you guys. God bless you.